Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're on with Jake Braun, Portfolio Manager in Associated Bank's Wealth Management and Institutional Services Division. Jake, welcome back.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me back.
I want to focus in on the outlook for 2024, economic outlook for 2024. A couple of highlights I've seen from some analysts who say that they're now more convinced than ever that we'll see a soft landing for the economy. We're going to see growth of maybe 1.5% next year. Inflation will keep coming down. We might actually see the Federal Reserve cut interest rates. Those are pretty glossy predictions for the coming year.
They're great predictions. I mean, maybe not great, but they're good, because to be clear, right now and 2023 generally has been pretty great when you kind of look at the high level growth numbers, the jobs, and but next year, yeah, we're in this slowdown, which has been the goal. That's kind of the whole reason we've had these interest rate hikes, is to slow inflation so we can slow the economy down. But to your point, the projection is that we'll settle into this moderate growth, Goldilocks, soft landing zone, whatever you want to pick as your metaphor. You mentioned it, 1.5% for our economy growing. That's after accounting for inflation, too. That's the real growth we talk about. And that's pretty close to in line with what our growth has been over the last 10, 15 years. So on target growth with inflation is also expected to continue to decrease, which has, I think, clearly been the biggest challenge over the last couple of years. There's no controversy in saying that. Right now, we're at about 3%. I think most people, including the Fed, are expecting that to continue to tick down a little bit, closer to their 2% target through next year. And again, most estimates are projecting that the job market will continue to be strong, that, the interest rates, we may even see some cuts next year. Mm-hmm. But I think you said it perfectly. You're really looking at it almost causes me a little hesitation, too, to be so happy to see some of these pretty nice projections for next year. Yeah,
and the jobs part of it, I guess when people think of recession, they immediately think that that's the first sign, is that people start losing their jobs and they're unemployed. But the Federal Open Market Committee projected the unemployment rate next year will be about 4.1%, which is below the average, the long-term average of 5.7%. And even though economic growth may not be as good as this year, it's still going to be a little bit higher. People that were calling for a recession, were they the economists who cried wolf?
It's tricky with projections, because not only do you have to predict what will happen, but when. And so I think if you went to people who are maybe for the last year or so, or maybe even still are predicting a recession, a lot of them may have simply, and I've seen this, those who still maintain the conviction that a recession is coming have pushed out their targets a bit, that maybe now it's going to be middle or second half of next year, maybe even early 2025. But so it depends on whether, you know, how much weight you give to that. Mm-hmm. Again, because you have to, timing is probably the trickiest thing of these projections. But so I wouldn't say it's always risky to claim victory, right? There were those who thought inflation would be transitory. What that meant exactly was kind of a little wishy-washy. As we stand here today, was it transitory or was it not? So these kinds of debates, unfortunately, unlike predicting who wins a football game, predictions often don't get their clean victory or defeat. But, to your other point about the labor market, at least, people typically in a recession, we tend to see job losses of 300,000 to 500,000 per month. Right now, we're a little over 200,000, which is fairly normal, by the way, because there's a lot of those people often turn around and get their jobs. There's a natural turnover to jobs in even great economies. So we're at a level that's pretty solid, but we're not expected to get to that 300,000 to 500,000. But if we are in a recession, that's what you would probably expect to see, is a lot of job losses, and because those are very tightly tied, right? If you have a lot of people losing jobs, the economy just simply cannot produce as much. People can't spend as much because a lot of them don't have jobs. So that tends to be the surest sign that something's wrong and we're probably in a recession. Mm-hmm. But jobs have never been a great leading indicator, but they do tell you, they're a good sign of where we're at currently.
Some of the analysts do say there are some signs, some warning signs that we should watch moving into next year. One of them is the household debt numbers are spiking, wage growth is slowing just a little bit, consumer spending is dropping a bit, and they're also concerned that business investment is turning a little weaker. Those are all kind of things that I guess we should be concerned about, right?
Yeah, this kind of speaks to where we started, which is there is a slowdown, and the hope and the projections largely are that we'll settle into the Goldilocks zone, but the slowdown could just simply keep continuing. And even if it doesn't, to your point, like, we're expecting people spending less on their consumption, which is the bulk of our economy. People are expected, investment is expected to slow, especially with these higher interest rates. It just becomes more costly to build a new wing to your manufacturing plant or to go out and buy another business on credit. So, you know, a lot of different aspects of our economy are expected to slow down. And that in and of itself can just mean a thinner margin of error in case we experience a shock of some kind. But we have other measures, like when you just measure sentiment, whether it's from consumers or business leaders, it's been pretty negative. And that matters because it's not just what people think. It's how what they think informs their decision making. So maybe business leaders are less likely to hire or invest. People are less likely to spend. Mm-hmm. Sentiment can be a leading indicator. And so there are things that are deteriorating, and it's unclear whether they'll just keep deteriorating or whether they can reach a equilibrium.
Well, Jake, even before those things started deteriorating, with falling inflation and low unemployment and wages growing and some other indicators showing positive signs in the economy, Americans have been polling very gloomy for the last year or so. What do you think is behind this glum view that people have of the economy when it's actually been pretty good by all measures?
Yeah, this has been a conversation that's been going on a while, and it's a pretty big divergence. I think it's what's really going on is that economists have their typical macro big picture measures, like the jobs and inflation and wages, that they typically look at. And according, you know, when you look back through history, it's very hard to find a point in time where those major measures are better than they are today. And yet, to your point, when you go out and ask people what they think about the economy, it's really poor. Probably the best survey we have is the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. I won't go into the calculation, but generally the higher the number, the more optimistic people are, the worse they feel. Right before the pandemic, it was at 101, a pretty solid number. At the worst of the pandemic, it had shrunk down to the low 70s. Today, it's at 61.3. So people feel worse about the state of the economy than they did at the worst part of the pandemic, when we had almost double-digit unemployment, and we didn't really know how bad things were going to get. So that's really alarming, and it creates a huge question for what exactly is going on. Why is there such a divergence between the data and how people feel? So on one hand, there's a lot of reasons that it could be, but I think there's a few things that we can point to. But I mostly see this as economists and people kind of talking about two different things. So, you know, economists like to talk about inflation in terms of the year-over-year change, but that's not really how people experience price changes. I think you go out and you ask people how they feel about prices, they'll talk to you about what prices used to be 3-4 years ago before the pandemic. They have a much longer memory than kind of the typical annual measures. So there might be that inflation hangover where, yeah, well, inflation has fallen back near target on a year-over-year basis. It hasn't undone all that very real rapid rise over the last few years. And people are still really angry about that. They're hurting from, and every time they go to the store, they're reminded of it. Even though their wages have also climbed, it's It's just, it leaves a bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah, it's almost like the last grocery bill has seared a memory in people's minds. You know what they paid for bread and milk and other groceries a year or two ago compared to now. In their minds, it's still very high, and that's left a lasting impact, hasn't it?
It really has. And that's the kind of thing that, frankly, you know, when we talk about inflation, we're measuring all the prices through the economy, and we're trying to weight them according to how important they are, like how much of a person's budget makes it up. But the fact is some prices just leave a worse taste in people's mouth than others. And I think when you're confronted with those daily grocery prices, even though they don't make up most of your budget, you're consistently reminded of them. That's part of it. I think another huge part about it is the housing affordability. And, you know, housing has this really kind of unique place in the American dream and our psyche of what we want to accomplish in life. And right now, housing is still at its pretty much its most unaffordable in terms of prices and interest rates as it's been going back almost 40 years. And while most people own a home, 66% of people own a home, it's still hurting the people who don't want to buy a home who don't have a home and want to buy a home. And even for those that want to trade to a different home, it's everyone's kind of locked in. And so when you think about your future and your, you know, the what you want to accomplish in life, when you have this big piece of that pie that seems unattainable, I think it hits people's sentiments over the economy a lot more than, say, not being able to afford a new car or certain furniture, because those have alternatives. Those may not be as tightly tied to people's vision of what they want their life to be like. So, yeah, I think there's a lot more qualitative things going on here that's affecting sentiment than just the explicit macro indicators that economists have a really hyper focus on.
Jake, good conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk to anyone about investments, banking, planning, anything we do. Please just give me a call, shoot me an email. My number is 414-278-1864, or my email is my name, jacob.brond@associatedbank.com.
All right, Jake, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Dave.